Widespread confusion and deception cloud the Ten Commandments. This is in part because so many today doubt accounts recorded by Moses in Exodus as divine in origin. But most who do believe the Bible record conclude these laws are good principles, but not immutable laws of God. A few do strive to keep them. Other broadcasts prove the Ten Commandments were not done away at Christ's sacrifice. God's law is still binding, and keeping it is required for salvation. Despite God's plain instruction, mankind has rejected His law for almost 6,000 years. This has resulted in all the terrible conditions seen the world over. This misery was never God's intention. This broadcast presents the truth about how all human beings will soon be keeping the Ten Commandments and how radically different and better today's world would be if this happened.
The World to Come. The Restored Church of God presents David C. Pack, author of 80 books and booklets, editor-in-chief of The Real Truth magazine, read by countless and growing numbers in every nation and territory of the world. In a violent age full of war, famine, pollution, disease, disasters, and economic uncertainty, and ever-worsening bad news, answering life's greatest questions straight from the Bible and announcing the wonderful good news of the world to come. And now, David C. Pack.
God created the universe with hundreds of billions of galaxies, each with about a billion stars. Every movement of them adheres to laws of physics and thermodynamics. From the forces that bind atomic particles to the principles governing these great star systems, laws made by God regulate everything. From the fullness of the earth to the vastness of space, from the breathtaking beauty of the creation to the very human minds that can comprehend it, all testify to God's majesty and boundless creative forethought. The brilliant scientist Albert Einstein observed the order, laws, and planning God put into His creation. He was convinced a superior intelligence was at work in the universe. Einstein believed there was a God who is revealed in the order and harmony of what existed. He saw an intelligence of such superiority that the collective thinking of all human beings was utterly insignificant. Earth and the whole universe reflect perfect interaction and balance with natural laws. Likewise, there exist spiritual laws, which, if obeyed, would ensure peace and happiness among men and nations. But the masses have not understood these laws. The world has been deceived, thinking this great law is burdensome and harsh and lacks love and mercy, or that there is anything good about it. Yet God told ancient Israel, "What does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways and to love Him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command you this day for your good." The world ignores the plain word of God, including what those who read the New Testament should know. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Well, of course, because they're good. God has allowed humanity to exercise free moral agency, and having violated His spiritual laws throughout the course of human history, man will be forced to realize and appreciate that God's ways infinitely exceed his own. For every cause, there is an effect. Obeying the Ten Commandments identifies the causes that produce good and desirable effects. 6,000 years of agony stand as stark testimony to man's track record living contrary to the laws of God. Almost everything occurring in today's world can only be described as all wrong. Civilization is engulfed in problems of every conceivable kind. Since man does not know the causes to his troubles, world problems only increase and humanity's general state of misery only compounds with the passing of time. Newspaper headlines are filled with bad news and scream worse and worse messages to those who can bear to read them. Here is a sampling. ISIL threatens slaughter in the streets of the West. Germany warns anti-Semitism rising on back of Middle East violence. Russian war games setting off alarms worldwide. Israel on brink of another intifada. Crime wave rocks Dallas suburbs as masked men invade home after home. Corruption costing Kenyans their lives. No one is safe. Anti-police violence protest turns violent. 141 slaughtered in Pakistan, 130 are children. Bullied California boy commits suicide. These headlines report nothing more than a list of bad effects. While news editors know that bad news sells, all long for good news in their own lives and hope the world improves. Most assume that, somehow, problems will eventually work out all right, merely because they want them to. People want to enjoy peace, happiness, abundance, well-being, good health, and general prosperity. Could these things happen for everyone? Could they become universal? Could all peoples of the world come to enjoy all these conditions? Is it possible the problems now plaguing civilization on such a grand scale could abate and eventually disappear? Could newspapers one day find themselves only able to report good news everywhere? Could the next headlines replace the previous ones? Food production sufficient to feed entire world with plenty to spare. All deadly viruses eradicated, including HIV, Ebola, West Nile, polio, and smallpox. Health breaks out everywhere. All nations report no problems. Divorce disappears. No more broken families. All teenagers practice respect and obedience to parents and authority. War outlawed, all nations disarmed. Destructive weapons destroyed and recycled. No more crime, rates plunged to zero. Murder, thing of the past. All thieves repent, now seeking honest employment. Education focuses on right values. No more situation ethics, secular humanism, and no absolutes. And Bible taught in all schools. Do these headlines sound impossible? They are not. They are real and certain. A wonderful utopian world is foretold to come to Earth. It will happen soon in your lifetime. In part, this is because people everywhere will be keeping God's holy, just, good, and spiritual law. Numerous scientists recognize that the planet and civilization are headed toward calamity. Many are scared, and their statements of what could happen are frightening. They speak of the need for one world supergovernment to stop mankind's runaway problems, yet virtually no one believes such a government would work in the hands of men. But there is good news. One of the Bible's biggest themes is a message about a coming world government. Everywhere Jesus Christ went, he preached, announced the coming kingdom of God, which would smash and replace all governments of men. He brought exciting, thrilling, good news in advance of its arrival. He spoke of a wonderful world to come, now imminent. Read our booklet, What is the Kingdom of God? When Jesus is crowned King of Kings, he explained how other kings would qualify to rule with him, he will possess vast power to effect change of every kind. The nations of the world will at first resist Christ, but he will force them to be happy, healthy, and prosperous, enjoying the abundant life. How ironic that mankind will have to be forced to accept and enjoy these conditions. This series examines that world in detail. We will understand how all the world's troubles, evils, and problems will vanish. Why there will be no more insoluble problems which today bring abject misery for most of humanity. But mankind will not produce or bring these things. All of this will be done to, not by, men. Let's read of when all peoples will learn and obey God's law. In the last days, Christ's second coming, it shall come to pass that the mountain or government of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, or nations, and it shall be exalted above the hills, smaller nations. and people shall flow to it. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion. Obviously the Ten Commandments and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. An amazing time. But the world will initially resist such radical change, preferring millions of men's laws, which are so contradictory and unjustly enforced. They must learn there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Men will learn they have not known true right from wrong. When men follow their own feelings, they get into trouble. Civilization testifies to how many gods and pagan customs and practices people can dream up. Such gods and practices seem right. They feel good and become comfortable. But men's opinions don't count. When Christ enacts his plan to re-educate and convert all nations, he will crush all rebellion against his ways and all wrong religious and social customs by divine force. Every one of God's laws will be religiously enforced, literally, no exceptions. This will mean the complete disappearance of all forms of disobedience. Considering rampant fear of crime and violence today, what an incredible atmosphere just this change will make.
The world to come will continue after this brief message. Discover more from David C. Pack. Visit our website, worldtocome.org. See the World to Come broadcasts. Read and order books, booklets, and articles, all free of charge. To continue learning about the topics covered in this broadcast, visit worldtocome.org today. Now back to David C. Pack.
We can now examine in more detail what the world will look like when it is obeying each of the Ten Commandments. The first commandment establishes who gave these laws to ancient Israel. When fully understood, knowing the right God lies at the heart of all religion. We will take more time with this all-important command than others. I am the Lord your God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Surely, if the Bible is the inspired instruction book of an all-wise, all-powerful Creator, who is the only true God, his first command could not have been otherwise. Under no circumstances would that God want other gods worshipped in his place. The Bible's author describes himself in the very next second command as a jealous God. Moses recorded, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God only, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words shall be in your heart." God commands we meditate on him and discuss his laws with and teach them to our children. Notice what people should do all the time, but virtually never do. You shall teach them your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. Why? That your days may be multiplied in the days of your children. Moses goes on to add what America and other supposed Christian nations of the West never notice in their Bibles. If you shall diligently keep all these commandments to love the Lord your God and to cleave to him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. This used to happen. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon. So did this. Now finally, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods. The God of the Bible leaves no room for doubt or confusion in this first command. He expects to be worshiped as he is, without human opinion added, and declares that he accepts no substitution of the false for the true. If you have not already, take time to prove there is a God. Request our free booklets, Does God Exist? And Evolution, Facts, Fallacies, and Implications. Unlike anything you have read, these help build the foundation for a right relationship with God. Some might think they keep the first commandment simply because they don't worship pagan gods. But whatever occupies your interest and time more than anything else is your God. Idolatry, strictly speaking, is the worship of idols. But there's another less apparent form of idolatry. It is blind or excessive devotion to anything. The object of such devotion becomes a false god and the person is an idolater. The god most often put before the true God is money. Think. To millions, winning the lottery is almost a religious experience. Buying tickets at an all-time high is done weekly or even daily, yet winners often end in financial ruin. Millions worship sports figures, rock stars, entertainers, or themselves in place of God. Most pursue materialism for fulfillment. Cars, clothing, toys, and every other thing they can possibly obtain, all in a vain attempt to fill the void in their lives. Others fall into forms of liberalism and generally oppose everything associated with God. Their ideology is their false god, which credits evolution as the origin of life. These people are the architects of the secular, anti-religious media, which offer today's generation ever new depths of sex and violence disguised as entertainment. Liberal intellectuals, pervasive in university systems and public education, invariably promote the opposite of God's truth. We are ready to ask, what if the entire world kept just the first commandment? Just to begin, there would be no false religion, none. If all humanity put the true God first, seeking His wisdom and guidance, then wrong or incomplete concepts in every area of life would disappear. Since the world's religions are false, there would be an immediate and dramatic change in every nation. As the world came to know and fear the true God, it would learn that His system of government and truth in every aspect of civilization should be followed. Men would look sincerely into His Word to seek true wisdom and understanding, and God would grant these. By knowing and fearing the true God, the world would soon appreciate and obey His other 9 commands. Only a relative few individuals are willing to truly worship the God of the Bible. These are by choice experiencing a glimpse of the millennial rule of Christ, when the whole world will be required to serve the true God. Every nation would see why God told the nation of Israel regarding gods, "You shall not do every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. Take heed that you be not snared by following false gods, after that they be destroyed from before you, and that you inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. You shall not do so unto the Lord your God. For every abomination to the Lord, which He hates, have they done unto their gods." If the entire world kept only one of the 10 commandments, the first would be the most important. Knowledge of the true God would lead them into every other truth of that God, including all the other commandments. Now the second commandment. Ancient nations cut off from the true God always fell into idol worship. The masses needed gods near at hand that could be seen. Before God could instruct Israel how to properly worship Him, He had to first show them how not to. Let's now read the second command. "You shall not make unto you any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down yourself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." This is a direct and sweeping prohibition intended to cover every form of false worship. It involves every kind of supposed God and representation of such that human beings with creative reasoning could devise. God specifically outlined the common ways to worship idols. He knew the tendency of human nature to justify loopholes around his instructions. The first commandment forbids having other gods before the true God. The second forbids using any images to represent the true God. This commandment deals specifically with using physical images for worship or as representations of anything related to worship. This does not condemn all statues or pictures, only their use for worship. So using any statue or any picture to represent God or Jesus Christ is expressly forbidden. Man is to worship, bow down to, and serve the Creator God. He does not allow men to transfer this honor to an image, even one supposedly representing Him. God strongly warned Israel of this danger. You shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall you make unto you gods of gold. These were God's very first words to Moses after giving him the Ten Commandments. Let's reread part of the command. I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. If people persist in idol worship, God will not only punish them, but also their children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. No other commandment gives such detailed implications. Like any human parent whose children chose to go to a different house and different parents after school, the divine parent who made all people his children would be jealous if they went after idols and false gods. God hates idolatry and equates it with hating him. But Almighty God promises to bless those who love and obey him. Individuals who choose to obey God will not be punished for their parents' disobedience. The world is filled with gods of every sort. It is as though man has reserved the very best of his creative powers for the invention of every conceivable type of god and goddess, whether composed of physical matter or defined by ethereal concepts in the mind. The world's billions worship literally millions of gods. The Apostle Paul put it best when introducing the God of the Bible. Though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things and we by him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. Now think of the countless metaphysical concepts of gods adored and worshipped in the mind, some of which have been depicted by artistic symbols and representations. This describes the so-called Trinity. The Hindus invented a trinity of Shiva, Brahma, and Vishnu. The Egyptians, as did many other civilizations, had their brand of a trinity, Osiris, Horus, and Isis. Yet most are unaware that vastly more people believe in the three-in-one God of modern Christianity than any other false god. The Romans worshipped and built temples to an endless array of gods and goddesses. The ancient Greeks worshipped as many as 30,000 gods. Not to be outdone, today's Hindus are said to have 5 million. Then there's Tao, Confucius, Buddha, Allah, and a host of other gods, goddesses, and idols worshipped today, including totem poles, nature, snakes, animals, fish, volcanoes, mountains, fire, wind, rock, sun, moon, planets, stars, and even certain human beings considered to be divine. These worship forms of the creation, not the creator. Notice, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they, mankind, knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature or creation more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Ultimately, what is the single greatest difference between the God of the Bible and all other gods? How does God Himself differentiate who and what He is from all others? Throughout Scripture, God describes Himself over and over as the living God, the eternal. I am that I am, the name in Exodus that Moses was instructed by God to use when representing Him to Pharaoh. In other words, the God of the Bible establishes who He is and separates Himself from all other gods by declaring Himself to be alive, living, meaning all other gods are non-existent or, in a sense, dead. Put another way, the true God says, I am, meaning all other gods are not, period. It is vital the viewer continually ask whether he or she is worshiping the one true God, the God who is alive, or something non-existent, inert, and dead, a God who is not. This question towers over all others you will ever face. Without God's Spirit, the human mind is naturally inclined to worship images simply because they are visible. One who breaks the first commandment will eventually break the second. Satan the devil knows breaking one command leads to breaking others. The true worshiper of God does not seek or need any images to assist in worship. Jesus said, "The hour comes and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship Him." God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. This is the only form of worship God accepts. What if the whole world kept the second commandment? All nations would move one giant step closer to the true God. Not only would image worship disappear, but there would be a ripple effect. Every faction of modern Christianity would cease worship of pictures and images. What would happen to Buddhism without statues of Buddha? Without idols, virtually every religion of the world would lose its main attraction. The curses brought upon all humanity for disobedience would disappear. For more, read our books, Tomorrow's Wonderful World, An Inside View, and The Ten Commandments, Nailed to the Cross or Required for Salvation. We will continue next time examining a world fully obedient to God. Until next time, this is David C. Pack saying goodbye, friends.
This program was made available by Restored Church of God members and donors from around the globe. Explore our vast library of literature and other World to Come programs, which are all made available free of charge. To order literature featured in this program, call toll-free 1-855-828-4646. That number again, 1-855-828-4646.